So I want to talk this morning about compassion, and then we'll do some compassion practice together. This is a tough world we're living in. Isn't it a tough time right now? And we can think of a stereotype, you know, of the Buddhist tradition is life is suffering. And indeed, the First Noble Truth starts with the understanding that there is dukkha in life. Dukkha is not exactly suffering. Dukkha is more like the unreliability of basing our happiness on things that are changing. So unreliability is, you know, or unsatisfactory is maybe the best translation of the word dukkha. And the tradition starts with that, not out of being morbid, but really out of understanding, you know, there is difficulty and the cause of our difficulty. And then, you know, the third and fourth noble truths that there's a way out. But we start with that first noble truth because it's so real. And the premise of the whole Buddhist tradition is the universe is benevolent. Even though there's so much suffering and so much difficulty. And the tradition has the experience and understanding that the universe wants to wake us up. If we don't pay attention, we suffer more. If we start paying attention, we start to see how we can suffer less, both individually and collectively. There's natural consequences of not paying attention. When you don't pay attention, eventually something happens where you realize, oh man, I need to start paying attention. My wife and I were moving from Vermont to Colorado. We were pulling an all-nighter packing, and I walked out of my bedroom with a full box, and I kicked something. And I looked down, and something just rolled across my living room floor on the wooden floor. And I looked down, and I saw it's about a foot tall, or 8 inches tall, a headless statue of a Buddha that I had put on the floor, and I kicked its head off, and its head had rolled across the living room floor. If that's not a symbol of mindlessness, I don't know what is. And that's the way the universe works. That was a call to pay attention. So if we pay attention and really pay attention, we awaken, and then we really realize the third and fourth noble truths. We learn how to be happy no matter what. And happy not in the sense of, you know, like la-di-da, but just happy in the sense of contentment and ease and the wisdom of seeing how things are. And so necessarily a part of this path is staying open when the going gets rough. We know how to be open on spa day, right? We know how to be open when we're, you know, getting a beautiful massage with beautiful scents and maybe hot rocks on our back. Do we know how to stay open when there's difficulty, when people do things that are very painful for us, or we think things that are very painful for us? How do we stay open? How do we stay centered, grounded in the face of suffering and not lose heart? Compassion is the way. Our basic reaction to discomfort, pain, suffering is we think something's wrong. And this is our denial of the first noble truth. Nothing's wrong. You're in pain, you're suffering, there's difficulty. Oh, it means you're human. That's what it means. Nothing's wrong. But we think something's wrong and we resist and we want to do anything possible to avoid it. But this avoidance is double trouble. We've got the trouble and then we make it double because we resist. We don't know how to be okay when we're not okay. Typically, we do pain and then the pain of avoiding the pain. And the simplest thing we can say about, like a wise and loving relationship with pain, we could say the way to be with your pain is to let it be painful. And we need compassion to do this. Letting our pain be painful is not some grim, tight jaw, clenched kind of thing. It's awe. It's that heart tug where we ourselves feel softened and opened because there's pain. Compassion is kindness to pain. And compassion is the natural expression of the awake heart. It's just that heart tug, that awe. The word compassion from the Latin root means to suffer with. But we don't drown in suffering. We're floating in the current, but not drowning. Being overwhelmed with someone's pain is not compassion. And we all know a drowning person can't save another drowning person. Compassion allows us to cut the chain of reactivity. It accepts pain. Built into compassion is the understanding that pain is unavoidable, but suffering is optional. Suffering is reaction. All suffering is some kind of reaction to what is. If we can open to what is and not be overwhelmed by it, then we stop suffering. It might be painful, but it's not suffering. The Buddha talked about that as like a second arrow. Someone's shot with one arrow, but then we shoot ourselves with a second arrow by being reactive towards pain. The spiritual teacher, Byron Katie, was here in Boulder, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And she talked about working with torture victims. And she said to a person, people told her the most painful thing about torture was the projection of what was going to happen, the terror and the pain of whatever would happen was never equal to the suffering of the terror. Mark Twain said something along the lines of the worst things in my life never happened. We make up a lot of stuff that's catastrophic. But if we can be with the actual situation and soften and open, we can handle it. We need this compassion to handle it, but we can do it. And what keeps us buoyant with compassion is that painful feelings, when we open to someone's pain, we feel so connected. In the last year of my mom's life, she had a hard time because she was such a giver and a doer. But because of all her various medical challenges, she couldn't give anymore. She said, I spend every day just making it through the day. And she was depressed as a result. And I just did a lot of compassion practice for her. And I felt so connected to her. I just felt so much the difficulty of our situation, but it wasn't distressing, it wasn't deflating, it was just connecting. And I could just love my mom and just wish her the best in spite of all the pain. So it's this connecting so deeply through pain that keeps us buoyant. The Dalai Lama says compassion makes us happy, and that's because we feel so connected. And when we open to someone's situation, someone in pain, we feel connected, and then we recognize our shared humanity. And that is disarming. Longfellow said, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's or person's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility. So beautiful. If we all just saw how hard it is, at times to be alive and to be human, we can just love people for our shared humanity. A great example of this kind of loving heart is Mr. Rogers. And in the movie on him, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the movie's through the eyes of a journalist who is this very hard-boiled, cynical journalist. And he wrote an article on Mr. Rogers for Esquire, and he was completely skeptical about, this guy. But Mr. Rogers kind of people whispered him and really changed his life completely. And Tom Junod, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, was the journalist, and he wrote an article in Esquire about it. The movie's based, inspired by that article. But Mr. Rogers, Tom, had a very difficult relationship with his father, Ed. Tom's father was dying, and Tom was trying to make peace. But Mr. Rogers showed up to just be there with Tom and his family. And the dad, they were talking about a vacation they could all do together. And then, there was this really happy moment. But then the dad from his, deathbed said, "Well, I'll be there. If I can, we'll see." And there was this very uncomfortable pause. And Mr. Rogers just stepped in, and he said, "Death is something many of us are uncomfortable speaking about. But to die is to be human. And anything human is mentionable." And anything mentionable is manageable. It's beautiful. If we can talk about it and connect with others, anything ultimately is workable. And we can think of compassion as that kindness in pain, with pain. And it's like compassion can be our conversational partner. We can talk to the compassion about our pain. And then when we connect with somebody through the pain, like me connecting with my mom, I just could feel so much my care. The connection leads to the care. And then the care contains the motivation to act. Really, my feeling was very strong with my mom. How can I help? What can I do? And that's the compassion. Compassion contains that motivation to help. And what's really interesting on this point is that empathy and compassion are not the same thing. Empathy is feeling, with another person. Compassion contains empathy, but then it also contains this second thing of wishing them to be free of suffering. And it's that connection and care of compassion that leads us to action. In studies, they show that in empathy, we can have too much empathy, and the centers of our brain that get activated when we're emotionally dysregulated, those can get activated with empathy. We all know we can get empathy burnout. With compassion, those centers of the brain don't get lit up. The centers of the brain where we connect and where we want to do something, where we engage, that's what gets lit up with compassion. So compassion has empathy, but then it goes further. We don't lose ourselves in the person's suffering. We might join with them, but we don't merge with them. And out of that wish that someone be free of suffering, we're motivated to help. So, with all that said, let's do some practice. And in the interest of time, what I'd recommend, if you like the practice, we're just going to do it with someone else, but we can very much direct this towards ourselves too. And the key with compassion practice, because it's meditation, is we don't want to get all worked up about the story. We want to know the story, but all we need is the headline. And so similarly, when you do compassion for yourself or someone else, we just connect with the basic pain. The headline is like the language of the heart, the basic situation, all the details, that's the head. And the head wants to get very all up in that, very involved with those details. But the heart doesn't need it. We just need the simple situation. So if you would, bring to mind a person who's facing difficulty. And just for we don't have a ton of time, we got about 5 minutes. For the purposes of this, not someone who's in total agony. Just someone more like 4, 5, 6, or even 3 on a 1 to 10 scale of difficulty. And let's just all, we can close our eyes and practice together. Bring this person to mind. Feel, let your heart feel their difficulty. And I'm going to give you two phrases. The first one, you can play with the wording of it. I'll just say the two phrases. You can send your kind wishes to them. The first phrase is, I care about this pain. The second phrase is, may you be free from suffering. Tweak the first phrase if you need to. You can say, I'm aware of your pain. I see your pain. I feel your pain. Whatever language works. If the care is there, it's nice to use the word care. So that's what I'll do. You're just aware of the person, the very simple understanding of their difficulty, and then sending them the phrases, I care about this pain. May you be free from suffering. I care about this pain. May you be free from suffering. I care about this pain. May you be free from suffering. saying the phrases often enough so your mind can focus on them, but not so often that it feels mechanical or rote. And not straining to make anything happen. We're just creating conditions out of which compassion may arise. So don't force the feeling in any way you can. Just focus on the person, their pain, and the phrases. That's what you can do.